Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Thanks for joining us. It's Thursday, May 6th, 2021. We talked to Buster Olney at 7 o'clock about how awful Angel Hernandez is. And then we'll get Gary Lezak's forecast closer to 8. Jeff Chedia is going to be in studio from NFL Network and NFL.com in the 8 o'clock hour. Talked to Royals assistant GM J.J. Piccolo at 9:05. And find out who's got this at around 9:30. So that was that. I'm watching that game, and when everything's going down with Angel Hernandez, and look, we had a lot of fun with it yesterday, and we'll probably have some fun with it today. Not as much fun. That man is awful at his job. All kidding aside, he's a terrible umpire, terrible. And this is the guy that was bitching and complaining about not getting postseason assignments. Well, let's have a circle of truth here, and let us all acknowledge why he doesn't deserve postseason assignments, because he sucks. So there's the evaluation. There's the quick one. Some people thought that we were making too much of it yesterday, and Angel Hernandez isn't that bad. What do you think today? How do you feel about him today? He's awful. And we said yesterday, kind of tongue-in-cheek, but kind of not, okay, we're going to have a terrific pitching matchup. It should be a wonderful game between the Royals and Cleveland, Brady Singer and Shane Bieber. But Angel Hernandez is behind the plate. He's going to have some type of negative effect on this game. I wonder how he's going to screw things up, right? We all knew it was going to be something. And when you have an umpire, and you know, you shouldn't even be talking about the umpire. You shouldn't, I guess, you know, covering the game and everything else you should know. But, like, if you're a fan, if you're just someone that's tuning in, well, here I go again. If you're able to tune in, if you're able to watch the games, if you go out there, you shouldn't really be worrying about who the umpire is. That shouldn't be on your mind. There shouldn't be a fear of, well, how's this guy going to screw this game up? And am I wrong? Is that the expectation?
Certainly. I mean, I think we talked about it before he was even, we talked a lot before he was even behind the home plate last night. Oh, this is going to be interesting.
Something, everyone did. I mean, the Cleveland broadcast crew was making smart-ass comments about it yesterday, right? What did you say?
Yeah, Tom Hamilton said, I won't be able to sleep tonight thinking about Angel Hernandez behind the plate tomorrow.
It's a running joke. But if you're Major League Baseball, the key word there is joke. It's a joke. The bad calls, we've had, and this is before it even affects the Royals. Because what did I say a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about this terrible, these terrible calls and the lack of accountability? Say, hey, we talked to Buster about this. We're talking to him about this happening with other teams and the failure of replay and all these things. Because at some point this season, we're going to talk to Buster and it's going to be about how it screwed the Royals or how it affected the Royals. And then we'll all be pissed. Well, here we are, and Buster's on the show today, and guess what question number one's going to be? Why is Angel Hernandez allowed to be so terrible? And why is he allowed to ruin games? I mean, it's what he does. His arrogance. Tell me if I'm wrong, if you've heard any different about him. I mean, in jest, we read his quotes, his comments. The comments from a guy that's so arrogant, he's unable to even realize when he's done something wrong and blames every... I mean, we all know that guy, right? We got someone like that in our life.
Oh yeah.
That they do something wrong, but no matter what they did, and no matter how much it's their fault, they tell you everything else that went wrong, right? Oh well, he did this, they did that, the pixels and the lights, and I.
It's the biggest issue with a guy like that.
It's everybody else. It's everyone else's. I did what I was supposed to do,
and that's why he continues to suck, because he can't understand that he makes mistakes and he can't acknowledge them and try to get better from them. He blames them on the pixels. And look, the report that Terry Francona's comments to him,
right.
Why does this always happen when you're here?
Right. Because that's what managers think. That's what players think. That's what fans think.
I mean, that's the
ex-players,
most telling comment.
Or Mike Boddicker talking to Mike Boddicker telling stories about this damn guy. Right? And it's always everyone else's fault. No accountability. It's a joke. It's a running joke. Combative with players. What do you think Brady Singer thinks of him?
I think he made that pretty clear.
Nathan, I don't know if you've heard this, but there's a good chunk of people that can't see the TV game. You know, because like I love Brady Singer, and someone's like, hey, could you please tweet some video, and no one has. And there's a lot of people that have no idea what you're talking about. Like, well, that's true. But so, what did Brady Singer do when he was walking off the mound?
Well, he dropped a couple F bombs on Angel, and then Whit Merrifield came sprinting in from second base to like walk him away from.
Right, walked him into the dugout.
Yeah.
And the whole time I'm like, Brady Singer, you were already a favorite, skyrocketing up the charts. I damn near went online and ordered a Brady Singer jersey after that tirade against Angel Hernandez. Because that moment, we were all Brady Singer. Did you want to run out there and throw a couple F-bombs at Angel Hernandez?
Yes.
I did. Brady Singer did, and he did. He represented Kansas City very well walking off that mound. You mean Mike Matheny would give Angel Hernandez high grades from last night? Cal Eldred? I mean, anybody. and like you said the game before, he was able to accomplish a rare feat where he did something that pissed both teams off. Everybody was like, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing, dude? What are you? And it's the same guy over and over again. So, look. The bullpen blew the game, all right? Angel Hernandez affected the game. The Royals' bullpen lost the game. But it's terrible that we have to spend, like we had a lot of fun with it yesterday, the dramatic readings and everything else, but for a guy that honestly should be nameless and faceless because he's doing his job, for him to dominate the conversation over the past couple of days because he's so terrible at his job and actually, I don't want to say ruin, but he makes the games worse. He affects the game. Did he affect the game yesterday?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Did he affect the game the day before in a negative way?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, it's like, it's unbelievable. And there's no accountability. And then he wonders why he doesn't get enough postseason assignments.
I guess that's the most accountability there is. Like, he's not going to lose his job, but I guess at least he doesn't get to do the postseason.
Yeah, and then, you know, and then Brady Singer's in, and he goes out and, you know, tough guy out there is like staring him down. Like, you know, asking for a confrontation. You know, not looking away. Not. You know, turning around, taking some more steps towards the dugout and just standing there and, you know, and looking at him, you know, like inviting him. Come on, come back.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you want to say anything about him? It's stupid. It's ridiculous. It's a joke.
Well, if
you defend him, you could just take your ass right down that hallway.
Yeah, better not defend him. I don't have any defense for him. I don't like the way he does his job. I don't like when umps want to make themselves the show either.
Oh, and he's MLB the Show 21.
He doesn't.
If you listen to The Zone all week long, you can win a copy of that.
That's pretty nice.
Is Angel Hernandez featured in that? Could you actually be Angel Hernandez?
Yeah,
MLB the Show 21. Yeah.
Whenever he's behind the dish, weird things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So to our audience that might not have been able to see it, the two controversial calls in that sixth inning, the hit by pitch slash hit the bat, I don't know what happened there. And I watched
I can tell you what didn't happen. Nobody got hit by a pitch.
Okay, I don't know. I couldn't tell. But it was controversial either way. The balk, I don't know what he did that was a balk there.
Did you balk at that call?
Maybe.
Hey, I got a really, really bad headache right now, and I think that's pretty...
It's not bad.
I'm displaying a sharp tongue this morning, am I not?
You are. I don't know what it was that made that a balk. Like, it seemed like he turned it through to second base.
Yeah, but that's to the point, no matter what Angel Hernandez does, I think it's wrong and dumb.
Well, that's, and I think that's kind of what the Royals were saying. I mean,
he has no benefit of the doubt with anyone.
Right. Hey, maybe the Royals should be glad because it gives them a target for their anger instead of themselves for the way they've been playing lately.
No, I'm mad at them, too. I'm mad at the bullpen. I don't know. I'm not mad. I don't know. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
Jake, do you want to say anything about Angel Hernandez?
No, he sucks.
Wow.
No, he sucks. No, I mean, he's an embarrassment.
Do you want to say anything about him? No, he sucks. That seems like you're saying something about him, but I like your approach.
He's an embarrassment.
Want to, though. He just did.
He is an embarrassment.
But isn't it funny? Maybe it's not funny. Yesterday we said, okay, he's behind the plate. How's he going to screw this one up tonight? Because you knew.
We said it half-joking, though.
But there wasn't even like, well, maybe. But how? What's he going to do tonight? It's an expectation. Even Boddicker was like, he'll screw something up. There'll be tomorrow. Boddicker told us tomorrow you guys will be talking about something he did to piss people off during the game behind the plate.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
There you go.
That's what we have Boddicker on. I mean,
it's predictable.
In every sport, the officials that to me. That annoy me the most are the ones that are so confrontational. Because I think a good umpire is kind of, they got to be a strong presence. They got to be willing to stand behind their call and all that. I get that. They can't just let people run around screaming at them all the time. But
you can't escalate the situation.
Yeah, the good ones calm it down. They hear you out, whatever. And then if you got to go, you got to go. But like you said, He almost looks like he wants a fight.
He walked over there. Come on.
Yeah.
You want a piece of me?
Anybody else want some? Huh? Like the principal from the Breakfast Club or whatever. You're mine for 2 weeks,
Come on.
I mean.
Come on. I like the rough stuff. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
And that just doesn't do anybody any good.
Well, it's unprofessional in a professional sport.
On a night that the Royals got to Shane Bieber, and look, six innings... Three earned runs, four runs. Nate likes that. But three of them were earned. That's a decent night for most starting pitchers. For Shane Bieber, that's the most runs he's given up in a game since 2019. So, and you got to him.
Yep.
And you got a lead. And that's maybe one of the most frustrating things about it. Arguably the best pitcher in the American League. Hasn't given up that many runs since 2019. You're up on him 4-0. You got your young kid who you hope someday becomes a Shane Bieber, and he's dealing. And it just the next thing you know, managers are getting thrown out of the game. Brady Singer's dropping F bombs, walking to what just happened to this game? Angel Hernandez. Oh, okay, gotcha. You don't even really have to say anything else. Like, what happened to this game that I was enjoying so thoroughly that led to Mike Matheny getting thrown out of the game, Brady Singer cursing like he did when he was cussing at the rain back when he was at Florida? Remember that video?
Yeah.
when we first saw that, you go, oh, this guy's a red ass. I like this. I'm looking forward to seeing this. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen, introducing red ass Brady Singer. And I like it. I'm here for that. You know, we have fun calling him a bulldog. That's the mentality I like. Yes, I'm that. I like it. He's a red ass on the mound.
Fiery competitor.
There we go. Like, if you didn't, like, if you just closed, if you left the room and came back and just saw the aftermath, like, what happened? Someone just says, Angel Hernandez. Like, oh, okay. Oh, that, I get it.
That's the easiest way to explain that.
Right on. And also, I know it can't be a full house, but to the crowd out there, however you want to say it, kudos or kadoos to you, because then everything was boo there for a while. Even if he was making good calls behind the plate, you know. Like, there was a pitch, like, there was clearly a ball. I don't know who came in, it was from Barlow. It was clearly a ball, and he called the ball. Bah, you sure? Like, yeah, that's right. Get him.
Yeah.
No matter what he does now, it's all wrong. Boo everything. And for a while, they booed everything. They were getting after, right?
Yeah.
Jake, you're a top-notch.
I'm a fan of the
heckler
boo.
And booer at games. You I'm like, a fan. Right?
Yeah, I mean, you could even hear it on the last play, even.
Yeah,
like that we played. I mean, they were booing. They weren't booing the Royals.
There were some good Royals fans that were getting after it. You know, respect getting their it. Money's worth. Well, hey, you don't have.
We
to
haven't had with, that for a year, so you know, I mean, I can't wait to get out. I mean,
there's one guy who's just above you.
I like
you know,
that guy.
Like way outside ball.
Everything.
The ball, but no.
Doesn't matter.
Right. No.
At this point, that's not
is that a principle.
Out. Right.
Well, that's kind of what the Royals even said after the game. I mean, I was listening to Joel and Monty, and they're like, yeah, we're not really sure both those calls were wrong, but it's just it's Angel Hernandez at this point, and you can't trust anything he does, so everybody's mad at him. I think especially the ball calls, I just don't get it. I'm like, What was different about that than any other pickoff throw that you watch? And maybe somebody could tell me that and enlighten me. They didn't seem to be able to point it out on the broadcast.
Someone tell Nate.
But it is it's, and I think that's something Major League Baseball ought to consider in this, is that he's not able to do his job as well because nobody on the field trusts him.
Hell no!
You know what I mean? Like, that's part of being able to do your job.
He has zero benefit of the doubt.
Every, and we talked about it again, both teams are like, this guy's terrible. They don't trust him, they don't believe in him, and that makes it hard for him to do his job.
Brought it up. It's Terry Francona, it's what he said the game before. Why do these things happen? Why does this always happen when you're here?
And Tom Hamilton, the play-by-play guy for the Indians, said something that, you know, he wasn't talking to Terry Francona. That, you know, Francona was out on the field.
Right.
This goes across the board. You just look at everything we wrote about it, or everything that was written about it yesterday. Hey, Angel Hernandez made another terrible call.
It's an expectation.
His
now.
Reputation precedes him.
And Major League Baseball's like, oh, what do we do, huh? We'll talk more about Angel Hernandez with Buster only at 7. Because Buster's been pissed off about calls and umpires and officiating all season long. So we'll get him fired up. When we come back, we'll talk about the bullpen.
Do we have to?
Like, Angel Hernandez, thankfully, will be leaving town soon. The bullpen will not. The bullpen stays. And so we got to figure this out. Or maybe there's no solution. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
Come back tomorrow and play good baseball. You know, that was a game. You can look at a few of them now. Right there for us. Keep playing the game hard. Keep playing it all the way through. And you know, you look at kind of going back a little bit. You know, we run into Minnesota after they just kind of start getting something going, right? And they were getting hot. And I think the same thing's happening right here. We're watching this team get on a good streak and. We just gotta outplay it. And you know, that's the frustrating thing is for the majority of that game we did. And when we do that normally we can finish it off.
Welcome back to the show. Look, the bullpen, I shouldn't say the bullpen, members of the bullpen, because Scott Barlow came in and did his job. He was terrific. Right? He gets him out of the sixth inning and then pitches a clean seventh. He Barlow came in and he restored order, right? Because it looked like the game was slipping away from the Royals. And remember when the ground out to Santana and he had a chance to make the throw to home, but it looked like he got the ball stuck in his glove? And Ryan even said, oh, they had a play at the plate, but then they showed the replay and was fumbled. It looks like the ball got stuck in his mitt and he couldn't make the throw to first. But then Ryan said, hey, look, maybe in the grand scheme of things, it's hard because the Royals just need outs right now. They need to get out of this inning. And then there's a runner at third base. Here comes Barlow in a tough situation again. Didn't do his job last time with the inherited runners. Gets out of the inning. And then pitches an uneventful seventh inning. So then you feel good. Order restored. So then who's up next? Was anyone surprised that Jake Junis was the eighth inning guy in a one-run game?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I won't sit here and act like I know who was fresh and who wasn't in the bullpen at that time, but yeah. He struggled the first time out as a reliever.
And he got popped. He gave up a home run. Mm-hmm. Tied game. And again, this, maybe there were no better options. But, oh, this sucks to say this. There was a day, back in my day, Wade Davis would come in the game, and the game was over, and you knew he was not going to give up anything, any runs. It is no longer back in my day. And again, I'm half watching the game. I'm half getting yelled at by my daughters telling me they don't want me to show up at the walkathon today because I'll do something to embarrass them. I said, probably, but, you know, whatever. Well, we want to walk with our friends. We're not going to. I said, fine, walk with your friends. Then I'm going to walk behind you guys and yell all kinds of things. So I'm dealing with that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really, but then tie game ninth inning, it's like Wade Davis warming up. Like, I go, oh no. And that sucks to have that reaction to Wade Davis warming up. Because several years ago, when Wade Davis was warming up, you're like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'll always love Wade Davis.
Of course.
But this Wade Davis with a 7.59 ERA does not need to be in a high-leverage situation like that. It pains me to say it.
Right.
Like Bill Snyder once said, pain us?
Yeah, it pains us.
Pains us? What's it? That was, yeah. That I said it?
Something like that.
Because Josh Naylor assaulted that baseball. Yeah. I felt bad for the baseball. He hit that damn thing so hard.
Pain us.
See, it pain. It does pain us.
Pain us.
Does it pain us?
Yes.
Pain us.
Okay, be honest. You just winced. Does it hurt you that bad to talk about this, or is there something else going on?
No, tell me. Just, you know, it pains us.
All right.
Pain us.
Like when Wade Davis was warming up, be honest, what was your reaction?
Not good.
Like, oh boy.
Yeah, not good. It's.
I didn't feel great
he's
about.
He's not the same Wade Davis that he was.
Well, no, but I didn't feel great about the. Jake, I didn't feel great about the ninth inning. Jake?
No, I mean, I was optimistic. Like, come on, yay, yeah. Come on.
Because we got this. Yes. That's nostalgia. Like, oh. Right. Right. Now, real talk. 7.59 ERA and the baseball, we just found out, actually pressed charges against Josh Naylor.
Wow.
I think it's assault, but I don't, you know. How's that going to stick?
That's assault, brother.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know. So what do you do?
I don't know. I mean, they had to... part of it goes back to... I need to look up how many innings the Royals bullpen's thrown compared to the rest of the, you know, the rest of the league, but it just seems like they're throwing a lot. You know, right. They haven't... Their starting pitchers never seem to go six innings, right? They try. They get into the sixth. But they never seem to go six innings.
The bullpen's overworked.
And so, yeah, I mean, when, you know, Staumont pitched the day before, right? I mean, right. And Zimmer and Hahn are hurt.
Right.
So
Holland pitched the day before, too, right?
Yeah, so it's
a bad sitch.
If you're in the bullpen, you're going to have to pitch some. And if you're playing in close games every night, then you're going to have to pitch some in close games. And that didn't go well. I still think, I mean, the decision to put Jacob Junis in the bullpen has to be called into question right now.
What did you say about that? What are your feelings on that, Jake? How do you think it's affected Jake Junis?
Well, I mean, I said to you in the break, I said, it feels like they kind of ruined what he had going. I mean,
it does feel like that.
It was not broke and they tried to fix it?
Right. And there were two worse options, better options. There were two pitchers pitching worse in the starting rotation. And Junis, they kind of struck gold, right? They got something that they had no intention. When they started the season, this is the guy where, you know, what's Bluma say? Holstaff, Johnny Holstaff.
Right.
This is supposed to be Johnny Holstaff.
And
guy.
So, and like, for Brad Keller, he deserves to stay in the rotation.
I agree.
But with the way he's pitching, the way things are going, he may need a moment to reset.
Take a breath.
To take a step away from this. Mike Minor, I don't care. They spent money on him. But again, the last time he was with the Royals, he was a reliever the entire season and pitched extremely well. Go back to look at the numbers and what he did. And so they know that he can be an effective reliever, and they could use another lefty out of the bullpen. Yep. And to me, that was the better fit. Minor to the bullpen, and it strengthens your bullpen, and you leave Junis in the rotation. Well, I said this the other day. This isn't, you know.
We're not just coming up with this idea. This is when they made the move.
And Keller, I hope he works it out, but at some point they may have to, hey, let's take a step back and figure out what the hell's going on here.
Well, it was the old line from Crash Davis, you can't say it on the air, but you don't blank with a streak, right?
Say it on the air.
Yeah.
To get the effectiveness.
You don't blank with a winning streak.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And
now.
It's, I think, like I most
heard that one.
In sports,
you
didn't and
say blank.
If something's going well, you don't want to change anything. Right? Like, oh man, I've been eating this for breakfast every morning and I keep winning. I'm going to keep eating that for breakfast every morning until it goes wrong.
If something ain't broke, your house, does Kelly get you to try to get you to fix it?
Fix this, it's not broken.
Hey, this sink. You need to fix it. What's wrong with it?
And
nothing.
It's
draining just fine, but you need to fix it.
I do that to Susan. She's the fix it. Yeah. She's the fix it all in our house.
But so Junis was going well and now he's not going well. Like, they changed up his situation. If you wanted to change somebody's situation up, you'd think it would be somebody who wasn't going well.
Right.
Well, let's try changing his situation. Maybe it's just for a little bit.
You know
hey,
what,
Brad? Let's just skip a turn or two in the rotation. Put you in the bullpen for now.
The old mysterious IL. They don't ask. You can put someone on the IL for 2 days.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is you don't even have to put them on the IL if you don't want to. You could just say let's put you in the bullpen for a week or two.
But my point
try
is
to work some things out.
Of all times, there's a freedom to it. He's going on the IL. Why? I don't know.
Can't say.
We can't tell you. Great. Like in the past, they'd make up some kind of, you know.
Yeah.
But you don't even have to make nothing up now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, can't ask. Okay, great. There's no follow-ups to it.
It just kind of seems like maybe they overthought this one a little bit.
You know whose fault it is? I mean, honestly, I hate
Angel
to blame.
Hernandez?
Yes, Angel Hernandez.
Well, I agree.
Should take a lot of blame with the bullpen. If you want to be pissed off at someone about this bullpen, the guy is Angel Hernandez. That's my stance as of 6:36 a.m. on this Thursday. I'm willing to allow that I'm wrong, possibly, but that's the way I feel right now.
Guess what? We need a break, and we haven't taken a break. You know whose fault it is?
Angel Hernandez.
Absolutely.
Because I got to keep talking about him on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Enough negativity about Angel Hernandez and Cleveland beating the Royals 5-4. Last night. Although it's still very irritating, all of it. The bullpen, Angel Hernandez, the Royals' recent bad stretch. But they got to get through it. The bullpen's got to get healthy, and the starting pitching has to be better too. Pitch more innings. Give the bullpen a break. Today, at Kauffman Stadium. We'll see. Boy, who'd have thought you'd say that a couple of days ago. We'll see if the Royals can avoid the four-game sweep at the hands of Cleveland. 1-10 first pitch. Tristan McKenzie, who is a wildly talented pitching prospect, young pitcher for Cleveland, but he's having a rough start to the season, against Danny Duffy, who's been incredible. So that's a very good matchup on paper for the Royals to avoid this sweep. We'll talk more about that later. I want to mention that it was a great, great moment in sports yesterday for John Means. Gardner Edgerton graduate John Means, representing the Kansas City area, representing Gardner Edgerton, pitches a no-hitter for the Baltimore Orioles. What a fantastic... Can you play the highlight again? Do you have the highlight? You hear that in the opening highlight package. And if you remember, we had him on the show before when Jamie Bloom knows him very well, set us up with John Means, and we're going to get John Means on again to talk about the no-hitter. Here's the final out of his no-hitter.
So it comes down to J.P. Crawford. First pitch swinging, line drive, he's done it. John Means has no-hit the Mariners, and the Orioles mob him. The first no-hitter for the Orioles in 30 years. The first complete game no-hitter since Jim Palmer did it 52 years ago in 1969.
How about you, John Means, huh? 12 punch-outs. First time in his career he goes past 70s. The bullpen comes blazing in, and John Means makes history.
How good is that feeling, Ben?
Can you imagine? After the start of the season he had last year, the way things went sideways, people questioning whether John Means was a true ace or not. Well, you know what? He showed everybody at the end of the year last year, and he is showing it again. And you can put his name at the top of any list for any pitcher in baseball right now. He is as good and has proven it as anybody in baseball right now.
12 strikeouts, the only hitter to reach base. The only thing between John Means and a perfect game was a strikeout that was scored a wild pitch. That came early in the game, and then he was immediately thrown out on a caught stealing. And John Means was just untouchable. First pitch strikes, 12 strikeouts in the game.
26 out of 27 batters John Means threw a first pitch strike. What's the most important pitch in baseball? Strike one.
Incredible moment for a local guy you heard Blumen talk about it. The expectations, he wasn't, hell, he was against the odds even to pitch in the big leagues. And here he is throwing a no-hitter, an incredible moment, a memorable moment. But let me tell you why it's even more incredible and more meaningful, right? I got a direct message from someone that listens to the show all the time and said, hope you guys talk about John Means in the AM. His dad passed away from cancer last August. He was our union business agent, Teamsters Local 41. This is so awesome for John. I'm so happy that he pitches no-hitter for his dad. And so looking at some of the articles, listen to these quotes. You want a break? I don't want to rush to these quotes.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Not awesome, but it's a good story. My old man was part of Teamsters.
John Means said, I know my dad was there today. I know he was back there telling me what pitch to throw. It's pretty incredible. I looked at my glove right before I went out there for the ninth. It has my dad's initials on it. And I said to myself that he wouldn't care, just be happy that I'm having a good time. The accolades and everything like that never mattered to him. But it was pretty special, and I know he'd be proud. How freaking awesome is that? that he pitched that no-hitter, thinking about his dad, looking at the glove before the ninth inning, and seeing his dad's initials. That's the kind of stuff movies are made about.
Yep.
Congratulations, John Means and the Means family. What a performance. Unbelievable. We'll be back after this on WHB. Let's hear from the Gardner Edgerton graduate, John Means. And let me tell you something. After the first inning, I bet the opposing hitters were like, boy, John Means business today. Or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I'll allow that.
That's good stuff right there. Let's hear John Means being interviewed after throwing the no-hitter.
We just said it's been over 50 years since an Orioles starting pitcher completed a complete game no-hitter.
No, I can't. I can't put it into words right now. It's unbelievable. I don't even know what to say, to be honest with you. Felt okay all game. I didn't really have the change up till the end. And I'm glad I got it. I got it going.
Yeah, John, you've been so good your last 11 starts going back to last year. But I got to ask you, when did you have an idea the stuff was a little bit special today? I mean, you looked like you were on point from the first inning. You buried fastballs time and time again to the inside part against the right-handed hitters, but looked like you were on point really from pitch number one.
Yeah, that was my biggest pitch today was that fastball in. And I have to be able to do that to get the changeup away working. And, Sebi called a great game. I mean, unbelievable. I wouldn't have done it without him, but those fastballs didn't save me.
You're going to need a long flight to catch up with all the text messages and all the congratulations. Who do you think of when you have a moment like this that's so special in your life?
My wife, my kid, my mom, and I know my dad was there today. Yeah. I know he was. He's back there telling me what pitch to throw. I mean, It's pretty incredible. It's pretty incredible.
Thanks for spending a minute with us, John. Congratulations. You thrilled the entire Birdland community. We look forward to seeing you back home.
Congratulations,
all right, thanks,
John.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned, you know, he was never really regarded as a top prospect. And, you know, reading an article right now at the Baltimore Sun about him, he said he was never a kid that had a ton of confidence that he'd be able to get to this point. He'd always write MLB player as a kid on the sheet when they asked what he was going to do when he was older, but he never thought it was a reality. He never thought it could really happen. And basically, he said, hopefully kids coming up, even the ones overlooked, now they know they have a chance. They know they have a chance. And if you remember, and so... Nathan Ruiz is the writer. He has this pinned to his Twitter feed. This is from 2019. John Means so strongly considered quitting baseball last year, so this is in 19, that he made a LinkedIn profile. Remember that? We talked to him about that? There's the LinkedIn profile. I'm guessing that he doesn't need the LinkedIn profile anymore. He's good. After making an all-star game and throwing a no-hitter, I think you can go ahead and let go of the LinkedIn.
Yeah, if you never know what kind of contact you can make there.
Exactly. It was good networking.
Don't limit yourself.
Right. Back after this on WHB. Hey, thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. The show continues right now with Buster only on Sports Radio 810 WHB.